NBRN.
Your Country Roots radio station.
You're listening to Real Country Legends with R.B. Renegade. Real Country Legends, where the past is never forgotten.
Yes, it's a long way from nowhere to the place where we're standing. But baby, baby, we finally arrived. After traveling separate highways, taking all the dead-end rides.
Saying hello, saying I love you, saying goodbye.
Oh, baby, I hear you. I hear you, and I really do believe it. I finally do believe it in my heart. Let's close all the doors behind us and wrap the night around us.
Baby, no, don't say a word.
Let's just make love to each other and leave outside, saying hello, saying I love you, saying goodbye. Let's just make love to each other and leave the world outside, saying hello, saying I love you, saying goodbye,
saying hello,
saying I love you, saying goodbye. Saying
hello, saying
I love you,
saying goodbye.
From the very beginning, my guest today has had a vision of her destiny. As she told Bill Littleton of Performance Magazine, believe in oneself is probably the most important ingredient to success that there is, because if you believe in yourself, then nothing is going to knock you down. I'm ready to fly. It is my honor and my privilege to welcome Helen Cornelius to Real Country Legends. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, and it is my pleasure and my honor to be talking to you and talking to somebody who is revering the standards and the real country music and the legends, you know, and we are sadly lacking in that in a lot of places.
Well, we just don't hear it on commercial radio anymore, and internet radio, we're getting it out there. It's becoming more popular, but you know from yourself, you're out performing still, you're doing tours around, and the audiences are there, they're selling out, there's
yes.
An audience for it. Why commercial radio can't see that, I don't know.
You know, I've done a lot of package shows with Leroy Van Dyke and they're called Country Gold Packages, and it's been a lot of it has been like myself or, and Jim Ed's been a lot of Mo Bandy, Jimmy Fortune, David Frizzell, Gene Watson, people like that, Bobby Bear. We do a lot of them with Bobby Bear. And then Carrie and Debbie Moore of Third Coast Talent, they book shows that you know are the country legends, and they have the packages the same way. They just have, you know, a different title. But wherever we work, in the casinos or the fairs, we have some of the largest crowds because people are so hungry. And I think particularly in the times where the economy is bad and the world is frightening, I think they are so hungry for some just down-to-earth simplicity. And that's what real country music is.
That's right. I know I've spoken with on this show, I've spoken with Leroy, as a matter of fact. I've spoken to Jan Howard and Gene Shepherd and the ladies that you've worked with, and they have done these package shows themselves, and they say every show people say, why can't we see you more often? Why can't we hear you more often?
Yeah. They love it, and they can't get enough of the music. They just absolutely, Jim, Ed, and I still, you know, we do a lot of shows together, and wherever we work together, you know, we just draw. And people will stay if the show is not over until 10:15. We will still be autographing at midnight because the people, and they are elderly. You know, our fans are aging and middle-aged to elderly, but they will not go home. They are going to stand in line until they get to meet you and have an autograph and probably buy your CDs and your music because they are that hungry for it. So there's definitely such a need for it and such a loyal following. And I don't think we've always called them flash in the pan. And there are a lot of artists that have been flash in the pan through the years. And, you know, but so much of the country music that you hear right now, or that they call it country, you know, they're not going to be standards. You're not going to be able to sing them. I can't sing them now. I don't know the words and don't care to. But you're not going to be singing them a year from now or 5 years from now or 15 or 20 or 30. They're not going to be for the good times and Sunday morning coming down, and I don't want to have to marry you, you know.
No.
Midnight.
Well, no, and I agree with you, and I mean, it's something that I've said to many, many people, is that there are some new members on the Opry stage right now who have been invited, who are extremely talented individuals, but to me, membership on the Opry means that your career has sustained exactly what you've said, that 5-10 years from now, people will still remember that song, and that's what the Legends, to me, is all about. It's about the artists, because they're wonderful people, but it's about the music.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely changing, definitely in changing times. And you know, and I've always known that change is a part of life. It just simply is. There has to be change to succeed and to stay alive. But don't always necessarily agree with all the changes that are made and maybe how a lot of them are made.
That's right. It's not always for the better. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Helen Cornelius. Now, we've had our political statements. Let's talk about you a little bit.
All right.
Now, you grew up in Missouri, and like most artists that I speak to, you grew up listening to the music from the Grand Ole Opry on the radio, and you played with your brothers in country bands and that sort of thing. What was it like growing up at that time and the music? Was that your total inspiration? You knew from the very beginning that's what you wanted to do?
Well, I knew when I was 5 years old. I thought I was watching Debbie Reynolds and Jane Powell at the time in musicals, and I thought that I wanted to be in musicals, and I wanted to sing and dance, and that's what I dreamed of, and I have. Starred in musicals. I toured in Annie Get Your Gun and didn't dance very good, but but I sang. And Jeannie Seely and I co-starred in Could It Be Love and did that for like four years in November and late October for benefits here in town. And you know, and I got to do that. Now, I didn't really sing in country bands with my brothers. I'm the next to the youngest in 8 children, and they were primarily gone and out of the family when my sister, that's 2 years older than me, and the next, the youngest, who's 2 years younger, we were kind of raised in 2 shifts. So the 3 of us were at home, and we sang together as the Johnson sisters, but my youngest sister, Sharon, never wanted to practice, and so Judy and I sang together primarily as the Johnson sisters, and we sang, you know, in our little country church and our country school and the Farm Bureau and, you know, all kinds of things like that and just local things. We sang at a lot of funerals and all kinds of things like that. So from the time I was 5 years old, I had been on stage singing. So I guess to answer your question in one short sentence,
it
I would
say
yes.
Blood. It was in your blood.
Yes.
Now, what a lot of folks might not realize, though, is it was actually your songwriting that opened doors for you in Nashville and got your career really rolling.
Yes. I was living in Hannibal, Missouri, and I remember just putting my ear up to the radio one day when I first heard Judy Collins' Amazing Grace. I thought that was the most beautiful rendition I had ever heard. And when I would hear Jim Ed Brown and the Browns, the Three Bells, I just thought that was, that was out in 1959, and I was still in school then, but the ones that I heard later on, I would just glue my ear to the radio, and I thought, and I started studying them. I think I wrote my first song in maybe 1973 or something like that, 73, 74. And I would glue my ear to the radio, and I would figure out how many bars were in the verse, and then how the chorus differed, and then, you know, how many bars were in it. And I started figuring those things out, and I wrote songs, and then I looked through the country. At that time, you know, the Country Song Roundup, that was it. And there was always articles about the different producers and the different artists they were producing and the words to the songs and all that. And I knew that I liked the songs that Jerry Crutchfield produced on Barbara Fairchild. And I looked at the songs he produced, and I thought, well, now, if he's picking songs that I like, so maybe he would like my songs. And I sent a reel-to-reel, you know, down, and I got a writing contract. I got a writing contract with MCA Dutchess Music, and they got, you know, I had a lot of songs recorded by Connie Smith and Lynn Anderson and Liz Anderson and Barbara Fairchild, the Oak Ridge Boys, and mostly women. I did have Charlie Louv and Melvin Montgomery recorded my first one. And, I did have luck there. And then they were pitching some of my songs to RCA, and the producer said, well, why not have her sing them? It sounds like, you know, they sound like her. So that's how I got my recording contact with RCA Records.
Right, and that was in 1975, and I guess it's around that time or shortly thereafter that you teamed up with Jim Ed Brown.
Yes.
At the same time, in 77, you got the most promising female vocalist,
yes.
So they certainly made the right decision in giving you a contract.
I got the contract the last of 75, and Jim Ed, they found the song, I Don't Want to Have to Marry You. Chet Atkins actually found it and brought it to Bob Ferguson, and they knew it was a hit record, or they felt that it was. And we recorded that in June of 1976, and they released it immediately. And 3 months later, it was the number one song in the nation. And it just went, it was just fast-paced from then on, the life, you know. And then, of course, the next year we did win the CMA Vocal Duo of the Year. We won Song, Single, and Album of the Year, I think, for Music City News, and I won the Most Promising Female Vocalist. And so, you know, it was a we just came upon a song that the country loved. You know, we were very fortunate.
I have to ask you a question, though, and it's a delicate one, I guess, but Jim Ed Brown, member of the Grand Ole Opry, you and he have been a pair for years.
33 years.
You appear on the Opry on a regular basis. You get the ovations. Why have you not been invited to become a member yourself?
Well, they actually talked to me about that, asked me if I was interested back when I went out on my own. I guess the very first part of 1981 or last of 1980, I worked exclusively with Jim Ed for 4 years. And then I went out on my own the last of 1980. But at that time, Conway Twitty had picked me up as his opening act, and I was booked so heavy by myself And then with the dates with Conway, that I really didn't have the Saturdays available, you know, to put the, at that time you had to have 26 points per year. I think you got a half point for a Friday, maybe a half point for a Saturday. But I didn't have the Saturdays and Fridays available. And, you know, and frankly, I couldn't afford to keep the bus going and the band going and the employees and not stay on the road and do the dates that I had out there. So I had to say, you know, I can't do it right now. So that's what happened. I did that. I can tell you several other artists who whether we made that same mistake, you call it a mistake or not, I don't feel like it was, because I've performed on the Opry all through the years as a guest and, you know, with my band and everything. And now I'm, you know, because they are cutting back the spots for the legends. And so I would not get a single spot now because I would be taking a spot from one of the members. But when Jim Ed is on and I turn myself in and he hosts, you know, I do it. And of course, he generally has two songs and we'll do one song. And sometimes we do both of the songs together if I haven't been there, haven't been in for, you know, 2 or 3, 4 weeks. But that's what happened. And it happened to several people who were very busy on the road and they really couldn't give the time at that time. And that's what happened.
Oh, well, that's very understandable. Now, among your other credits, you did mention already you have toured and you've played in the Annie Get Your Gun. You've toured with the Statler Brothers. You've really been busy over the years. You really made a mark for yourself.
I have been very, very blessed, you know, because I was picked up immediately by Conway Twitty after I went out on my own. I toured with him for a year and a half, and then Bill Fagan Productions out of Texas flew to see me. I think I was doing the Colorado State Fair, and they loved my stage act, and they signed me then to tour in Annie Get Your Gun. And I did that the first 4 months solid of 1984. We rehearsed, and then we toured all over the United States. We opened in Garland, Texas, and they worked our way through all the major theaters that Debbie Reynolds and everybody else performed in, you know, just like my dream was. And then when I was on tour in Annie Get Your Gun, I got the word that the Statler Brothers were picking me up for their opening act. So then I toured with the Statler Brothers, 84, 85, 86. So, you know, I was fortunate enough that Ralph Emery on Nashville Now just liked the banter of kidding and joking with me. So I was on Nashville Now all the time as a guest. And, of course, Jim Ed and I, you know, Nashville on the Road, the national television show. So I've been very, very blessed in my career. I certainly have.
Well, that's another show that I miss dearly. I used to watch Ralph Emery and Nashville Now faithfully. Now, you're continuing to perform. In fact, mm-hmm. I just noticed you've got a bunch of dates for the new year coming up.
Yes.
Why don't we tell folks where they can keep track of you on the Internet? That seems to be where everybody does things
yes.
now. You have a website.
I do, Helen Cornelius Net, and I am very behind on putting the dates on there, but I promise after we get together in the first of the year, I will get other dates turned in to the lady who does my website and get it caught up. But they can keep up with me. I'm due writing a new newsletter and letting them know what's been going on and kind of staying in touch with my fans. But they can get my tour schedule at HelenCornelius.net.
Terrific. I'm going to ask you one last thing, and again, just maybe go back to the political stage a little bit, but internet radio is starting to boom. We at NBRN are playing a lot of independent artists, giving them lots of airplay, and as I said, we're trying to keep traditional country music alive on internet radio as well, and it seems to be one of the only places that people can get traditional music. What's your feeling about internet radio? Do you think it's a wave of the future, or do you think it's here now? What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know there. I do know that I have some fans overseas who cannot wait to listen to the opera, and they do listen to it via the internet, and that's the only way they can. And, you know, I would hope that all of these avenues will stay alive, and you know, the internet is a powerful thing now. It's just so powerful, and I would imagine that a lot of people, when they're doing other things and working, they probably would put internet radio on in the background, and they listen to that, and they hear the music they want to hear, and do other things. So hopefully, you know, we will have, hopefully it will continue to grow, but, you know, technology is just changing so fast that it's hard to predict anymore what's going to take place.
That's for sure. Well, Helen, I can't thank you enough for being on this show. It's been a real privilege for me personally, and I just know that my audience is going to enjoy this, and for you to take the time, we really appreciate it. So thank you for being a Real Country Legend.
Thank you, and I appreciate just talking to you, and I appreciate the fans and their loyalty, and I hope that they'll email me at my website and just stay in touch with me, too. And thank you so much.
Every time I want you more than I did the time before, can you stay with me for a while?
But I want the fire still burning bright, darling, on our wedding night. Let's wait till we walk down the aisle.
I don't wanna have to marry. Don't say you have to go, that I want you so. I don't want to be alone.
The temptation is strong, but it's oh so wrong. Please stop and take me home.
I don't want to have to marry.
You've been listening to Real Country Legends on NBRN. Join host RB Renegade every Sunday morning for more greats from the past. Until next week, let's keep on keeping it country. Keeping it country. Keeping it country.